At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Joseph Stalin. I welcome Professor Jeffrey Roberts, the University of College Cork. He is an emeritus professor of history and a member of the Royal Irish Academy. But importantly, he's the author of a new book, Stalin's Library, A Dictator and His Books. Professor, a very good evening to you. Congratulations. And I go immediately to a fascination. It is a dacha outside of Moscow and named Blizhnaya, meaning no nearby. And the dictator, the general secretary, Stalin, has a library. You describe it as 30 meters square. We're standing in the middle of it. What do I see around me, Jeff? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks very much for the invitation. Yeah, so in the mid-1930s, Stalin had a new dacha or country mansion specially constructed for him. And the centerpiece of this quite grand house was this massive library room, which had four huge bookcases, wide bookcases. So a room actually containing, if you're standing in the middle, what you would look around, you would see these bookcases, and you would see on the shelves thousands of books. And in fact, Stalin spent a lot of time in this particular room. And indeed, when he dies in March 1983, that's the room that he has his stroke in that leads to his death. So that's what you're looking at. But what you're looking at is, okay, thousands of books, but it's only a very small part of Stalin's personal book collection. The main bulk of the books that are at the dacha, this dacha called Blizhnaya, because it's just a few miles from the centre of Moscow, the books are actually kept in an adjoining building, yeah? And his staff would bring him the books he wants to read upon request.
The first library, we go to Stalin as a youth, born in 1878 or 1879. It depends on what book you're using, but in any event, his parents are modest, too poor, and he right away is importantly identified as a Georgian, speaking the Georgian language, this in the Caucasus. That is a profound part of anybody's youth. It is striking how later in life he emphasizes the Russian people in the Soviet Empire and not the Georgians. We'll touch upon that because he is also a reader of Georgian history. Jeff, his youth, his mother and father, he describes as uneducated. Does that mean they were illiterate? And who taught him to read? Where did he learn to read?
Actually, Stalin was definitely born in 1878, but for some reason, he made his official birthday another date in 1879. There are lots of theories as to why he did that, but none that make sense to me. Yeah, so he's born in Georgia in a small town, small place called Gori, which is about a couple hundred miles from the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. His parents aren't that poor, actually. They're not well off, but his father, was a shoemaker. But he was a shoemaker who had apprentices, working for them. And Stalin used to like to tell the story about how his father's small business went bust, and that's when the family became poor. Okay, but they were poor, not very well, but they were certainly very ambitious for the time, or at least his mother was. Yeah, so his mother is the one who guides Stalin into education. She gets him a place in a church school in Gori, and that's where his education begins. Now, I'm not sure whether he was taught to read before he went to the church school. By his mother. I'm not sure about that, but certainly at this church going forward. He's one of the he's one of the school's star pupils, right?
Yes, he's a gifted reader. I understand from your
investigation. He's certainly a very dedicated reader. Dedicated to reading books. He's also he's very studious. He's also very pious. He's very religious. He's very believing because his mother was his mother, and his mother had an ambition that he should become a priest. Yeah, and that's why he, after finishing graduating from this church school in Gori, he then goes to Tbilisi, to a seminary in Tbilisi, to actually train, to be a priest. Now, Stalin's engagement with books outside of the prescribed reading in school actually begins in Gori. In Gori, when Stalin is there at school, a radical bookshop opens, right? So and it's through this bookshop that he has his first encounter with subversive literature, or at least literature that's not prescribed by the church authorities. What kind of subversive literature? It's not we're not sure, but probably patriotic Georgian literature, nationalist literature, but also the classics of world literature as well. So that's where his engagement book starts at school. And also starts in relation to this radical bookshop in Gori, and then it continues when he goes to Tbilisi.
The cheap library, where is that, and what does it mean for him?
Well, the cheap library was a cheap subscription library. That's to say, you paid a fee and you became a member, and you were able to sort of like borrow books from the library. Stalin was a member of this library. It was actually run by a prominent like Georgian nationalist. Stalin was a member of this library. He borrowed a lot of books from this library. How do we know that? We know that because he was caught reading these books in the seminary, and the material he was reading was deemed to be inappropriate, was actually confiscated. And in fact, Stalin was actually was punished for borrowing these books from the cheap library and for being caught reading them in the seminary. The seminary itself also had its own library, and Stalin made extensive use of that as well. In fact, when Stalin dropped out of the seminary, there were 18 books that he failed to return to that library, and the seminary authorities tried to impose a fine for the non-return of those books. But as far as I know, Stalin didn't actually pay the fine.
The seminary gave him very good marks through the several years he was there, and yet the surprise is he fails to show up for either the final examinations or the graduation ceremonies. So there was alienation, but he was a good student. Is that correct, Professor?
Yeah, he gets very good grades the first couple of years in the seminary, but then his grades deteriorate. And his grades deteriorate because he becomes politically aware. And not so much politically, more politically engaged, because there's a lot of like student radicalism and militancy going on at the seminary at this time, and Stalin becomes part of that. He joins a study group that's studying subversive books, right? So there's a process. What is that? A seminary. Stalin undergoes a gradual process of politicization and radicalization, and while that's happening, his grades deteriorate. Yeah, he doesn't get such good marks. Yeah, that's the context in which he drops out of the seminary. He drops out and says that he doesn't turn up for his exams. But interestingly, later on, he asks for the opportunity to take the exams and actually to get some grades. And his final grades on exiting from the seminary completely were quite good as well. So there was a kind of recovery in his grades at the very end of his time at the seminary.
What I learned early on in your presentation of Stalin as a reader is that we've noted he's gifted. He also is omnivorous. He reads in all directions. He writes poetry a little bit, but he reads fiction. He reads histories. He reads socialist analysis. He reads everything he can find. And then after the seminary, he's employed momentarily at an observatory. So he has a scientific mind, too. In other words, this is a precocious young man.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, he reads anything he can get his hands on. There's one fundamental limitation to his reading, though. He can only read stuff that's in Georgian or in Russian, yeah? Throughout his life, Stalin tries to learn various foreign languages, but he doesn't really succeed. So the vast bulk of his reading is Russian texts, and you know, the difference is he also thinks in Russian as well. Certainly, when he marks his books, he actually marks them in Russian as well. Okay, and this habit of reading very widely continues for the whole of his life. Yeah. I mean, Stalin, the old man, is still reading as voraciously as he was as a young man. Now, there's an important reason to understand what's going on here, why he does this. Okay, so Stalin was a Marxist, yeah? Bleeding Marxist ideology, thought that Marxism held the key to complete understanding of human affairs, right? Everything, right? Okay, so it's a kind of universalistic ideology. And what it leads Marxists, like Stalin anyway, to do is to be interested in every kind of subject you can imagine. So not just history, philosophy, economics, politics, theology, but also art, criticism, science, everything. So it is like very broad reading and this broad interest, this broad engagement as a reader. It's partly a function, or mainly a function, of the fact that, he's an intellectual, but he's a Marxist intellectual.
Yes, we will introduce what that means as we go forward in Stalin's life. We sure. Next are going to turn to Stalin's meeting with Vladimir Ulyanov, who is Lenin. Jeffrey Roberts is the professor at the University of College Cork, emeritus professor of history and a member of the Royal Irish Academy, but author of Stalin's Library, A Dictator and His Books. I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.